You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Hey, everybody. Good afternoon to you. We say hello, Jim and Trent, right here on the Big Talker 1700. Great show lined up for you today. 420, Alex Halstead, 24-7, Cyclone Alert will be our guest. And then at 440, Adam Kramer, Kegs and Eggs. And then at 5 o'clock, it's the Hawkeye Huddle. Oh, boy, those guys, they got issues, that's for sure. Trent, how you doing, pal?
Oh, not too bad, Jimmy B. Busy as always as we're gearing up for our basketball coverage starting tonight, as it'll be a pretty good doubleheader up at Johnston, brand new high school up there that it opened up, called a football game out there. Now my first time in the new gym, as it's going to be Johnston, the Dragons, hosting the West Des Moines Valley Tigers girls boys doubleheader. We'll take the airwaves right at 6 o'clock, right after the Hawkeye Huddle finishes up. We'll go right into basketball, 6:15 with the tip in the girls' game, 7:45 with the boys tonight.
You know, you're going to be, like, so busy, you're not going to have time for anything. It's amazing to me. You get done with the show, run out the door, jump in the car, drive to the location, put the program on the air, and you go. Now, how many games are you basically looking at doing, like 320 this year? Because I think you did 400 last year.
I don't know. In fact, I haven't even really counted it up right now. I mean, all said, by the end of the year, I'll probably...
Yeah.
We're going to do some wrestling this year. That's also in the plan. So going to be doing that. State wrestling, was able to do that last season, so really looking forward to that. I don't know. I'll guess I'll probably be upwards of 40, 50 games by the end of the season.
Wow. Wow.
And, hey, it just continues on, Jimmy B. You got to stay busy. Can't be like you with your feet up all the time. I got to work.
I'm working too, pal. Come on. I'm here with you on the show. Come on. Nobody's buying that, are they?
No. We all know the amount of work that you put into things. Speaking of work.
Yes.
Well, the Hawkeyes get worked over in Assembly Hall last night. Get down big, give up a run at the end of the first half. Battled their way back the first 5 minutes, and then an 18-0 run, and certainly game over after that. The disappointment of this Iowa basketball team continues, Jimmy B. And what I'm struggling most about is how all of us could be so wrong. There was not a dissenting view out there when we were talking about Iowa basketball from people close to the program, from beat writers, some people at a local level. You know, at the national level, you know, when we talked to people, we kind of talked about this team. Some people didn't have them as an NCAA tournament team, but they didn't see them being as bad as they are right now. This is a bad basketball team. It's just not a team that's going through a rough stretch. You see that happen in basketball.
Yes,
this is a
that's right.
bad basketball team right now, Jimmy B. How does that happen?
I have no idea, Trent. Look, you and I both had penciled them in as a NCAA team. Look, I tweeted out last night, at the rate they're going, they'll be lucky to be in the CBI. This thing is, it's run off the rails. You only see fluidity in the offense for short stretches of time. They can't defend anybody. I'd put money on you being able to at least get open for at least 2 seconds to make a shot. I'd put money on that against their defense. Look, it's tragic what has happened. And I would like to say that I had answers to why they're sucking pond water so bad. But in watching the game last night, Trent, they give you moments of brilliance, and then the rest of the game is deplorable. And I don't know how they're going to overcome that, other than the fact that it's going to take more time for these guys to figure it out how to play. But the majority of these guys played last year. And I think maybe that's why it's so difficult for us in the media to figure it out, because we saw what that team could do. Now, I know some people are saying, well, they lost Peter Jock, and that's 25 points a game. Yes, but we also saw them play well when Jock was out with an injury for several games. So what the hell happened to that? Where has that gone? I think maybe that's the most frustrating part. We knew the scoring was going to be an issue because they do not have a go-to guy. They do not. But But I just felt that this team would be able to be in games and not get, you know, wasted away with what you just mentioned, an 18-0 run in the game against Penn State. Even though the score was close, the Hawks never led in that game. Penn State went wire to wire in that game. They got some real issues, partner. They really do.
Yeah, and I don't think there's some magic elixir that's suddenly going to turn this thing around. You hope when Connor McCaffrey comes back that he can help, but you're still talking about a freshman that has never played collegiately. You're still talking about a guy that has his own limitations on the defensive end of the floor. He's not what you would call a quick point guard by any means. And you just go through and you look at this team and you look at the roster construction. And Fran McCaffrey, as he's rebuilt this program, and this is the part that I do get a little frustrated by, the people that are calling for Fran McCaffrey's job. Let's remember where Iowa basketball came from. The absolute crater that they were in the Todd Licklider era. That was an awful, awful basketball program. They didn't have a practice facility. It was looked at very poorly. We've had plenty of national people on throughout the years, and I remember at that time, going back 8 years ago now, asking the question about, you know, where the Iowa job ranks, and it was looked upon very poorly. Not only the way that you had Dr. Tom Davis run out of town, the way that Steve Alford left, Licklider only getting 3 years, but the facilities weren't there, the way the Big Ten is built. Iowa was not looked at favorably. I know a lot of people have visions of Dr. Tom and making 19 NCAA tournaments over a 25-year period and all these different things that happened throughout the 80s and the 90s, but as it's currently constructed, Iowa's not the same job that it was at that time. The way that it is not maybe the illusions of grandeur that are out there for many people. So remember that when you're talking about Fran McCaffrey. Two NCAA tournament wins in 8 years. Okay, I get that, but he got there. He got this team to the tournament. He won games. He got them at least back to the level. But this is a year, this is going to be the most trying season, in my mind, of the Fran McCaffrey era in Iowa City. The way this has gone, hope that was there last year is quickly dissipating, and suddenly you go into next season with a lot of expectations, at the very least, that you have to be a tournament team and start to get this thing turned around. They're 4-5, Jim. I have this team at 7-2 right now. I had a 2-0 in the Big Ten. I figured they start off, they beat Penn State at home like they always do. They beat a rebuilding Indiana squad, and they'd be off and running. Yeah. Instead, they have a losing record, and there's nothing about this team right now that looks about it that they're going to have a turnaround by Thursday night when they have to make their way to Hilton to resurgent Iowa State team.
Look, and you just hit the nail on the head. Resurgent Iowa State team started out poorly, took them time to figure it out. But, Trent, they have gotten better as the season has gone on. They bumped around in that first half last night against Northern Illinois, and then in the second half, you really saw the way that motion offense and the up-and-down play that they like to employ under head coach Steve Prohm just put Northern Illinois away. The game in the second half, it was a much bigger blowout than the 14 points at the end of the game. But this is a team right now in Iowa State that has definitely turned the corner. Look, this is Iowa's Super Bowl. I mean, I always get it. It always cracks me up because everybody tries to throw that around. But, Trent, right now, the way Iowa is playing basketball, this could be another L. You can't get Southern University into Carver fast enough for them to turn this thing around. Look, Iowa State will have the momentum going into that game, and I have a feeling once again, because it is the cross-state rivalry, which we both love, that it'll be a dynamic game. But if Iowa State gets a run like they did last night against Northern Illinois, I can see Iowa just cradling. I really can, just like they did it against Indiana.
You know, the regression also of Jordan Bohannon this year, after what he was at the end of the season. Now, this kid was posting double-doubles. He's going to Maryland to hit shots. He's beating, putting a dagger down to win on the road in the Kohl Center, a place that Iowa never wins in. He was doing these things. He was playing at such a high level. And I remember before the year, you know, Tom Kakert from Hawkeye Report, he had mentioned to us that he was dealing with a little plantar fasciitis. You wonder if that's happening and if he's not physically right, because he doesn't look right out there. This whole team, the confidence is gone. And you know, a year ago, as they were starting to make a run and they got hot in Big Ten play, you saw confidence. You saw these young guys playing with the chip on their shoulder. And really, outside of Tyler Cook, that looks to be gone. Jordan Bohannon, he doesn't look right up top. Cordell Pemsel, we talked about, you know, the misses that he's had inside after he's lost all the weight. And you go on and on. Again, Isaiah Moss, after having a good start to the beginning of the year, he's disappeared over the last couple of weeks. And they can't afford that. It seems like there's something more happening. There's something mentally off about this team. How do you recapture that? How do you get that turned around, Jimmy B? You've been around enough basketball. You've been around NBA teams. When it goes south like this, what can you do to pull them out of this funk? Because it is a funk that there isn't a good sight in the end. And you look forward. All right, you beat Southern. You beat Southern Utah. You beat crap teams like that. That's all well and good. But you look forward here, and it's concerning. This is a bad basketball team, Jim. So how would you? I mean, what do you do to pull these guys out that just look to be mentally fatigued already here in December?
Here's what I would do, Trent. If it were me on the bench, it's not. But if it were me, I'd go back with the guys that got me there last year. I know he starts Nunji, and I know he starts Garza, and they interchange all of that. But I would bring those guys off the bench, and I'd go back to the guys. He had success with Pencil. He had success with Kreener. I know Kreener couldn't play because he was in concussion protocol, but he may be okay for Thursday night. I'd go back to guys that are savvy about playing the type of basketball that they were used to playing last year. It's not working with what he's got right now. So you would have Cook, Kreener, you know, those guys on the floor, and then start your substitution patterns off of that. It's the only way I can see a slump buster. I don't know if it's going to work against Iowa State, to be honest with you, the way that they looked, particularly in the second half. But for me, that's the only way I can do it, is I gotta lean, and I would tell those guys, look, you guys were here last year. Let's play like you did last year. Have some fun. Go out and compete. Have a great time. Trinity doesn't even look to me like they're even having fun.
Yeah.
You know, am I right about that? Do you see any fun, any laughter?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
It's a team.
There's no chest bumping, no high-fiving, no roll on the floor, you know, no in-your-face. Come on.
It's gone. You're absolutely right. It's gone for this team. And one other thing, Jimmy B, I'm sure you saw me and Tom Caker going back and forth.
Yes.
There's things, any basketball coach, and it doesn't matter what it is, and there were things that cropped up. It doesn't matter if it's somebody as beloved as Fred Hoiberg, you still heard complaints about in-game decisions. In basketball, it's a great sport to second-guess, and it's maybe one of the reasons I love talking about basketball and college basketball and all these things, because you can second-guess so many things and so many in-game decisions. Fran McCaffrey, though, has a hard and fast rule. You get two fouls in the first half, you're sitting out. There's no way around it. That is the way that his philosophy is. And many coaches have this. It happens on all levels of basketball. You see this outside of really the NBA. You see this happen. The problem that I have with it is, even if everything goes right, all right, a guy picks up his second foul early in the first half. He sits down, and he's able to give you 20 minutes in the second half. Now, for the most part, you're not going to see a guy play 20 minutes. Let's say it's 16. Well, if he only got you 5 minutes in the first half, you're taking one of your best players, in this case, Tyler Cook, and you get 21 minutes out of him. You get 21 minutes from your best basketball player. That doesn't make a lick of sense to me, Jimmy B. It doesn't pass the smell test for me. Is you're going to do this because you need him for the end of the game. You don't need him for the end of the game because you know who's been playing at the end of the blowout losses to Indiana, to Virginia Tech? Guys like you and me. Dorks at the end of the bench are coming in, and they're getting big cheers, and they're getting all excited because Billy Walk-On comes out of the floor, and he's going to fire up a three. It doesn't matter if Tyler Cook's on the floor at that time, because you're getting blown out, and you're getting blown out because you're not playing him. You get down 8, you get down 10, oh, look up, you're down 20. And it's happened again, and just this inability to be flexible. I'm not asking to do it every time, but when a run happens and you realize, you know what would help? Probably putting our best player on the basketball floor. You have to do that. These hard and fast rules, and it doesn't matter what sport it is, it drives me nuts, and it drives me crazy about Fran McCaffrey.
I can tell. And that's one of your best rants you've had in a couple of days. I loved it. And it is heartfelt. Look, here's my question, though. Does the coaching staff, including Fran McCaffrey, have faith in Tyler Cook that he wouldn't go out and pick up a third foul on a stupid foul?
Right.
We're not at practice every day. We don't know if his basketball IQ is off the chart or if it's limited. So from that standpoint, maybe that could be something. And I'm just looking at it from the other side, Trent, mm-hmm. just because we're not there in practice. And maybe that's the case. Look, I'm with you 100%. I've never cared for anybody who said, oh, God, he got two. He's going to sit the rest of the half. You got to be smart. You know, I mean, and you can go zone and protect that player a little bit as well. And particularly he's a low block player, so he's not challenging out on the perimeter that much. So if you went to that zone, you'd be able to protect him some. I'm with you. I don't get it. I just wonder if there might be an underlying factor someplace, which is why he has done that. I don't know that. I'm just questioning.
Yeah, it's a good theory, Jimmy B. The only problem is he did the same thing last year. I remember Bohannon got a couple of early fouls and he sat
right.
out. Right.
Yes, he did.
This is your point guard. I mean, if you can't trust your point guard to do that. And the other thing about it is Fran McCaffrey doesn't like calling timeouts. When a team's on a run, he wants his players to be able to play through that and figure out a way on their own to get out of that. Well, if you trust your team enough to do that, to try to play your way out of a run, well, we've seen throughout the years it doesn't work out very well. But regardless, if you trust your team enough that, can't you trust Jordan Bohannon, Tyler Cook, your top players, not to get a third foul? Or if they do, be able to play smart enough in the second half to not pick up that fourth early? You would hope so. That's a conversation.
I agree.
Well, Jim, we got a break here. We'll come back. We're going to go from Iowa to the good side of things, and that is Iowa State. They've turned their season around. We'll talk to Alex Halstead about that, his thoughts on the trip to the Liberty Bowl as well for the football team. Alex Halstead, CycloneAlert.com. He's next here on Jimmy B and TC.
Sunday night, Monday night, and Thursday night football from Westwood One, only on 1700 KBGG.
The Rookie is Central Iowa's leader in sports cards, collectibles, supplies, and memorabilia. The Rookie has a large selection of vintage and modern-day sports cards from brands such as Topps, Upper Deck, and Panini. Whether you're starting a new collection or building your own, The Rookie has all your needs from football, basketball, baseball, hockey, UFC, and more. It's time to collect. Stop by The Rookie, 9992 Swanson Boulevard, right across from the Willett Auto Campus, and online at TheRookieSportsCards.com.
Sponsored by Advance Auto Parts. Order your parts online at AdvanceAutoParts.com and pick them up in-store in just 30 minutes. Advance Auto Parts. Let's get you back on the road.
The premier college basketball event in the Midwest, the Hy-Vee Classic, returns to Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines Saturday, December 16th. See the Iowa Hawkeyes take on the Drake Bulldogs at 1 p.m., followed by the Iowa State Cyclones and the UNI Panthers at 3:30. Tickets are available now at HyVeeTix.com, the Wells Fargo Arena box office, any Des Moines or Ames Hy-Vee location, or by calling 844-55-HY-VEE.
Let's see here. Fire protection?
Check.
Uniforms, mats, and restroom products?
Check.
First aid cabinets and safety products?
Check.
Great! So it sounds like we're ready to go.
No. When I said check, I meant we still need to check on all those things.
Just call Cintas. They can handle all of it. It's what they do.
Okay. Call Cintas. Check. I mean, got it.
Oh, I'm ready!
Learn how Cintas can help you get ready for the workday. Visit Cintas.com.
When you're hungry for great food, a tasty cocktail, or a good glass of wine, a friendly atmosphere and fast attentive service, remember Jesse's Embers at 3301 Ingersoll Avenue. Open Monday through Saturday for dinner and Monday through Friday for lunch beginning at 11 a.m. Jesse serves just about everything, including some of the best steaks you've ever tasted, cooked on an open grill. Located right inside, the smells are fabulous. And Marty or Dina stop to check on your meal, and the bartenders, well, they're on your side. Jesse's Embers on Ingersoll, just west of 31st Street.
If your basement leaks or floods, or if you have mold, mildew, or a musty smell, call Midwest Basement Systems today to request a free basement waterproofing estimate. As Iowa's premier basement waterproofing and foundation repair contractor, Midwest Basement Systems will send one of their certified basement waterproofing specialists to visit your home and conduct a thorough inspection of your basement's foundation.
106.
Are you in the mood for real, classic, homemade Italian food? Well, I have the spot for you. It's Villaggio. Two locations. The newest location in Urbandale, 2675 100th Street. The original in Norwalk. Classic dishes like cavatelli, spaghetti, lasagna, and vodka rigatoni. Top-notch pizza and awesome sandwiches. A great happy hour and Italian done right. Villaggio.
Black & Cardinal Divide is the first website dedicated to the Cy-Hawk rivalry. We cover both the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones.
This is Cody, and I cover Iowa State.
And I'm Derek, his younger brother, who covers the Hawkeyes.
We'd like to encourage you to jump over to bcdivide.com. Tune in Wednesdays and Thursday nights as we will talk all things Cyclones and Hawkeyes.
Jump over to bcdivide.com. Join us for daily banter and our social media pages at bcdivide. As brothers and fans of different teams, we grew up with a heated Cy-Hawk rivalry within our own family.
Join us at bcdivide.com to embrace the rivalry.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind. And our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
If you're sick and tired of the same old delivery options, I have an idea for you. It's Food Dudes Delivery. Food Dudes Delivery delivers for restaurants that normally don't deliver food. And with over 50 restaurants across the metro, Food Dudes Delivery can find whatever you're craving. And for listeners of Jimmy B and TC, $2 off any order of $20 or more. Just use the coupon code JBTC. That's JBTC for $2 off your next order of $20 or more. Food Dudes Delivery. Online, Food Dudes Delivery.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
Oh, yeah. Like that one, Trent. Good job. All right, everybody. We are back, everybody. Jimmy B and TC right here on the Big Talker 1700. Alex Halstead, 24/7 Cyclone Alert, always joins us this time on a Tuesday. And we're going to jump on the clones as they get set for the big Cy-Hawk game coming up Thursday night. Alex, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, guys. Guys, how are you doing?
Everything is good with us. Let's kind of get into last night's win. Struggle a little bit in the first half with Northern Illinois. The one player is a sensational scorer, man. He gets off the bus. He is shooting it. There's no question. But in the second half, Iowa State took control and pulled away to win that game easily. Your thoughts on what you saw?
Yeah, you know, like you said, the first half was a bit of a struggle. You know, Iowa State goes into halftime, trailing 38-36 against Northern Illinois, and, maybe twofold. I mean, they hadn't played in 9 days, but that's kind of given them an easy excuse. I think more of the problem wasn't really the nine-day layoff, even though they'd only played about two games in 2.5 weeks, which is kind of odd. It was more so just bad defense. You know, Steve Prohm said he didn't go into the locker room until about 7 minutes left in halftime. I think he was very frustrated with just mostly the defensive effort because they missed some plays offensively. They missed some shots in the first half, didn't shoot it great, missed some bunnies around the rim. And that stuff, I don't think he's probably happy with, but it happens. But the defensive effort at times in that first half was just bad. And I think he laid into them a little bit, and they did look much better in the second half defensively. But then I think a lot of that defense led to offense. You know, they started the second half 8 of 12 from beyond the arc, and I think ended up 9 of 15 in the second half from three-point range. Scored 58 points on 38 possessions in the second half and kind of just looked like the offensive team they can be. So it's not a fantastic Northern Illinois team, but I think we saw in the second half that when they do click, especially those guards, they can play well when Donovan Jackson, Nick Babb, and Lindell Wigginton are all kind of playing together and playing well.
Yeah, you mentioned Wyler Babb, and another double-double for him, 12 points, 11 assists. Throws in 5 rebounds, a steal on top of it, only 2 turnovers against those 11 assists. This guy, I know we talked about it already, Alex, but I'm continually amazed, and I love the story that came out. The guy that threw that idea, though Coach Prohm said he thought about it a little bit, was Monte Morris saying, hey, how about you play Nick over there a little bit at the point guard position, and look how this has turned out.
Yeah, he said Monte was back this summer, and it had been something he'd been kind of throwing, you know, going through his mind a little bit, but Monte was, you know, watching alongside Prohm and told him, you know, maybe you should try Nick at point guard. And those first two games, you know, Prohm will say, obviously, first of all, they didn't have their full roster. You know, we've seen that Cameron Lard has made a little bit of a difference, and they've looked just different when they've had their full roster at Prohm's disposal. But, you know, Prohm even said today, kind of admitted that, you know, those first two games, especially before they moved Nick to the point guard position full time, he was trying to just, you know, play with different things, you know, see if Lindell was best there or if Donovan was best there or Nick was best there. And so we were seeing all those guys play, and it wasn't working great because we saw Donovan Jackson wasn't getting his points because he wasn't getting shots. And Lindell Wigginton will eventually be, I think they want, to be this point guard, but he's been a two-guard because he's always playing alongside another four-star point guard in Matt Coleman, who's now a true freshman point guard at Texas. So he was always a two guard in high school or prep school. So, you know, I think it's I'm really surprised by it still. Like you said, Trent, you know, I thought that Nick Babb was going to have to step up this year, and I think there's still a long way for this team to go, but he's definitely surprised me early, just compared to what my expectations could have been for him.
Alex Halstead's our guest, Cyclone Alert, here with Jimmy B and TC on the Big Talker 1700. Were you a little surprised that Steve Prohm let the cat out of the bag on getting the call from Monte Morris and suggesting to the coach that you let Babb move into that point guard spot? Most coaches, I think, probably wouldn't really let that out of the bag. But does that surprise you, or is that just kind of Prohm being Prohm?
Yeah, he's pretty open and pretty honest, especially I think the more and more he gets comfortable at Iowa State. And, you know, he did say that he did something that he had thought of a little bit. I think, you know, he told us after the Milwaukee game, he was up at his dinner table with his wife at 3 a.m. and said that was kind of a crappy feeling, you know, to lose at home to Milwaukee and be sitting there in the wee hours of the morning. And so he's been pretty honest just about, you know, some of those ups and downs early, and he knew it was going to be difficult, but I think it's something he was just trying to figure out who to play where. And I think part of the reason it worked is, you know, the struggle he's always had with Nick Babb, because he thinks, he's always said he thought Babb had some high-end potential, was that sometimes you have to push him to be assertive. And when you put the ball in his hands and make him be the point guard, you know, that forces him to drive at times. It forces him to do some of that stuff. So I think it's also worked well for that reason, because, you know, he can't really be tentative like he could be at the two or the three position. When he's got the ball in his hands, he's got to make those decisions, whether that's dishing it, you know, up the sideline to Lindell or someone, or driving to the hoop, which he has been more assertive. And he's not necessarily this huge scorer. We've seen him become more of this pass-first guy in the last few games, but that's what I think will be interesting to watch, is, you know, how he does continue to evolve in that point guard position.
Well, Cameron Laird probably played his best game in a Cyclone uniform. You mentioned getting him back out there and the difference that he has made. A rim runner, athleticism, can do a lot of things, and you got to love the four block shots that went along with it. Cameron Laird, there's going to be growing pains. I think you can see that still raw at times, but at the very least, you know the athleticism is there.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the growing pains, because, you know, Prohm talked about him after the game, and that was one of the players he was pretty frustrated with in the first half. He said, there were a couple of defensive lapses, but more so he took a 17-footer from the top above the free throw line. And it just, I remember we were sitting there kind of on a media row, and we're like, why did he shoot that? You know, there was 25 seconds left on the shot clock, so 5 seconds into the shot clock, and he shoots a 17-footer at the top. And Prohm brought that up twice after the game, that, you know, he kind of got into Lard at halftime, but then you saw him respond, and that's what Prohm said is, The main thing you can find out from a young guy is how do they respond, because he scored 12 of his 14 points in the second half. Like you said, he was really effective defensively at times with those blocked shots. So there are going to be the growing pains, you know, maybe taking some shots at times that he shouldn't be taking or some of those things. But for the most part, he runs the floor every possession, and that's something that I think has really helped them in this five-game winning streak, is when he runs the floor, it opens up things for other guys. And so we've seen that. You know, when they're in half-court offense, they aren't great. But when they're running in transition, they're a much better team. And that kind of starts with Lard running the four in transition.
Well, that should just be fine because your next opponent in the Iowa Hawkeyes like to do the same thing. So this game has capabilities of being in the 90s if both teams are scoring. Iowa, however, has not been scoring. They struggle with their guard play. Could you see Iowa State slapping a full press on the Iowa guards in this upcoming game?
Maybe they'll do some pressure stuff in the half court. I don't know if I see them going to a press. It's not something we've seen from them at all so far. You know, unless they've been kind of tinkering with something in a 2 days prep, I don't know if they'll go to something like that. You know, Prohm did say today he's been impressed, at least with the talent level that Bohannon and Moss have. And, you know, I think the main thing, I haven't got to see Iowa much this year, but the main thing I've seen from Twitter, you know, when I see reporters covering the games is they've had some turnovers the last two games. But, you know, Prohm said kind of, I think he said he just started watching tape this morning. He watched the Indiana game, and he must have had the commentators on his film because he said that he heard that the commentator last night calling that game said that once Iowa puts the pieces together, they can be a pretty good team. And he feels the same way. He said that, you know, the one thing that's difficult about preparing for them is that he said, you know, they can go as deep as 11 players. And for a young team, that can be difficult because the scouting report, you have to prepare them for the tendencies of all 11 of those players. And so he said that's kind of the main thing is getting those guys locked in. I think that's really his first thing is just making sure that they're guarding the guys they need to be guarding and doing the things and not letting a guy drive if that's his tendency. So I don't know if they'll go too crazy with the press, but I think he just wants them to be sound defensively and not give up some of that easy stuff.
So after this reemergence of this team and the way that they've turned it around and you know all these things that have happened, is it time to reconfigure the expectations for Iowa State at the very least where – you know, after UW-Milwaukee, can this team even be an NIT team? You know, with the right breaks, could this team at the very least be a bubble team come February?
I do think we could, you know, for sure reconfigure and say that this team could be an NIT-type team. I think before I go to that next step that you mentioned with the bubble, I maybe see them be consistent for a full game because I didn't get to see the Western Illinois game because I was covering the Kansas State football game versus Iowa State a week ago. But that game even, they got off to a slow start, and then they did end up pulling away, and it was easy win. And it was kind of the same thing, you know, yesterday with Northern Illinois. But even in some of these games they win, they go on these lapses. You know, a couple of them have been first halves. But, you know, down in South Carolina, they were up by double figures in all three of those games, and all three ended up being, you know, close-type games down the stretch. So we've seen this team, when they click, they can play really well in stretches. But until they play consistently – you know, for a full game, you know, if they have some of these first halves or some of these stretches that they've had against almost any Big 12 opponent, especially how we've seen that maybe the Big 12 is not great this year, but it's not terrible at the bottom as it has been in some years past, you're going to get beat. So until they can prove that they're not going to have all these lapses, I think it's hard for me to say how good they could be, but I don't think they're going to be maybe as down this year as we thought they were after that Milwaukee game. I think they will, you know, be a team that can, you know, contend for the NIT and then maybe if they continue to play well, put themselves back in that conversation. Because like we talked about after, you know, earlier in the season is the main thing for this team is you can't have a bad non-conference schedule because we expect them to play their best basketball come January and, you know, you just can't be out of it when you get to January. So if they can still maintain here over the next month and go into January with a good non-conference record, at the very least they set themselves up to still be in that conversation.
Alex, we've watched the Big 12 teams play. There's a lot of pretty good teams in the Big 12 right now. Look, Kansas, of course, is the standard, but TCU is there, Baylor's there, Oklahoma's there, Texas Tech has got some dudes as well. This is not going to be easy this year in the Big 12.
Yeah, that's kind of my thought is maybe you don't have a ton of elite teams at the top. I think your top teams up there are Kansas, and you could argue that TCU might be the second team right now, and West Virginia would be up there. But the difference between this league this year and maybe some years past is the bottom isn't just, it's not just absolutely terrible. You don't have a team that maybe is going to go 2-14 or 0-16 or 1-15. Or I guess it'd be 1-17, but you don't have a team that's just going to win, you know, 1-3 conference games probably, like TCU of years past, where TCU was just really bad, or when Texas Tech was just really bad. You know, even the teams towards the bottom, you know, the Kansas States, the Iowa States in terms of projections, Oklahoma State, you're not going to go to any of those places and just unless you're one of those top teams, no, you're just going to sweep and win home and away. And so I think that's what makes the league difficult this year is, you know, there's no team like that you're just like, okay, that they probably will win that game both home and away. There's no real matchup like that, except especially if you're not Kansas. So that's what I think makes the league so unpredictable. It makes it hard to project Iowa State until we see how they play once we get into January.
Well, Alex, it's going to be fun Thursday night. Iowa State, we'll see what that one entails. We're looking forward to it. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for your time, Alex.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
That's Alex Halstead. Find all his work over at CycloneAlert.com. Coming back on the other side, a look at college football. The college football playoffs is upon us, and Adam Kramer will join us. We'll kick things off with AK next here on Jimmy B and TC.
Sunday night, Monday night, and Thursday night football from Westwood One, only on 1700 KBGG.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness. Give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Since 1993, Wolf Construction has been Des Moines' choice for residential and commercial roofing. From complete re-roofing to small leaks, call Wolf Construction at 225-8866 for your roofing needs. Call 225-8866 to set up your roofing consultation or online at wolfconstruction.net. That's wolfconstruction.net for Wolf Construction. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. wolfconstruction.net.
Sponsored by Account Temps. Tis the season for year-end projects and increased workloads. Account Temps has perfectly matched candidates that make closing out the year a breeze. Visit AccountTemps.com to learn more. Account Temps, a Robert Half company.
Enjoy a spicy kick of South of the Border flavor with the authentic Mexican food at El Fogón in West Des Moines. Their family-owned and operated restaurant serves authentic Mexican food like tacos, enchiladas, fajitas, and much more. All El Fogón items, including their delicious tortillas, are made fresh daily using the best ingredients and produce. You can come in for a delicious meal at lunch, dinner, or just stop in for a drink at El Fogón's spectacular bar serving top-shelf margaritas, domestic and Mexican beer, mixed drinks, wines, and other refreshing beverages. Enjoy a dining experience that gives you the true flavors of Mexican cuisine and culture. El Fogón, just south of I-235 and 8th Street exit, where a new tortilla is born every day. El Fogón is this week's sweet deal. Get $50 worth of El Fogón gift certificates for only $25. There's a limited number, and they're sure to go fast, so get yours Friday morning at 9 at 1700kbgg.com. El Fogón, just south of I-235 and 8th Street exit, where a new tortilla is born every day.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with an 11% rebate on everything. Whether it's a new garage or a basement remodel, you'll get an 11% rebate on all of it. The bigger the project, the bigger the savings. There's no limit to how much you can save now during the 11% rebate sale at Menards. Good through December 9th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards. Napa know-how.
Hi, I'm professional football player Larry Fitzgerald, and I know a thing or two about longevity. And the truth is, with the proper maintenance, even an old vehicle can run like new. So if you want your car to have a longer, stronger career, Napa Auto Parts has more than 500,000 quality parts and knowledgeable people to help you out. While it may not be all pro now, with the right quality parts, you can help your ride go the distance. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
You don't need more sports, but you want more sports.
Rockstar Satellite can fix that with free next-day installation on DirecTV. Call Rockstar Satellite, 515-262-STAR. Call today for next-day installation, 515-262-STAR.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we don't just show up with a dumpster and trailer in your driveway. We arrive with a business card in hand, ready to take care of your home. Whether it's a simple roof repair, a complete re-roofing project, or a new construction project, Wolf Construction can handle the job. Call Wolf Construction at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. We're a roofing machine.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. We take you all the way to 6 o'clock. The Hawkeye Huddle begins tonight at 5 right here on the Big Talker, 1700. Always great when we have an opportunity to hang out with Adam Kramer a little bit, kegs and eggs, and he joins us right now here on 1700. Adam, how are you, man?
I'm doing well, guys. How about yourselves?
It's a good day. Are you good with the final four? I'm sure that you're fine with the first three. Do you have, are you okay with Alabama and their one loss versus a conference championship winning team and two losses in Ohio State?
I'm sort of torn on this. Like, do I think they got the four best teams? I do. However, when you think about how Alabama got in, you know, they lost the Iron Bowl pretty convincingly. And by losing that game, by Auburn winning that game, Auburn was penalized for beating Alabama and having to play another week and getting housed by Georgia. So they game the system. I mean, there's really no other way to say it. They game the system. I like it when Alabama is in because Alabama is good for my business. They are fun. They are polarizing. People love them. They hate them. So selfishly, I don't mind it. I think with Ohio State's case, look, it's funny that Iowa is sort of at the center of a playoff discussion, but here we are. That loss to Iowa is just really ingrained in the back of everyone's mind. And I think for that reason, yeah, I kind of get what they did. And if I'm Ohio State, I'm mad. And if Alabama would have been left out, I would have been mad too. But the reality is both teams had tremendous holes in their resume. When you have that, you leave yourself vulnerable to be omitted.
So both teams had flaws, and I don't remember who it was Saturday night as the back and forth was beginning between Ohio State and Alabama, but I thought they said it perfectly. I'm sick of complaining about these two and arguing the merits. Why don't we just put Central Florida in the fourth spot? And I kind of agreed. I mean, these are two flawed football teams we're talking about here. We know that's not reality, but what would it take from a Group of Five team to get in? Does it have to be a case like Houston last year, had the win against Oklahoma, run the table? Is that really the only path for a Group of Five team?
Yes. I mean, for starters, you need to be undefeated. That's got to happen. If you're not that, you're not even in the conversation. The second part of this, and this is where Houston had it, Houston wins that opening game. They basically, you know, beat Florida State, Oklahoma, and back-to-back wins. And I know you're not necessarily carrying over from the previous season, but oh, are we ever?
Mm-hmm.
So you had that marquee win against a really good team. And then I think that it requires that. I mean, they beat Louisville, too. I mean, so they had a couple of wins that could do it. The problem is they fell apart in the middle of the year. I think it's going to be – I don't want to say it's going to be impossible for it to happen. I think it's going to require an exceptional amount of madness for it to be considered. I think you're going to have one of these Group of Five teams with NFL talent. For starters, that does matter, is that we can look at this Group of Five team and go, hey, look, they've got some good players too. I mean, the way that we sort of have approached these teams and programs is completely unfair. And for that reason, I think it's going to be tremendously difficult for one to get in.
AK, does the committee, once the contract starts to get close, will they ever consider going to 8 and having the top seeds play the first game on their home campus?
Gosh, I love the idea. I love the idea of incorporating home field to this. I don't think what we've seen thus far, however, really is a selling point for eight teams. And I know we had controversy over that third or that fourth, fifth spot here. But I also didn't necessarily think, like, we're begging to increase this playoff. Like, it drops off pretty quick. Like, I can't say that if we go to eight, I feel better that, like, more teams should be included in the championship discussion. You guys have watched it this year. It's you know, Alabama and Ohio State are great teams, but they are both flawed. Mm-hmm. There's a clear, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think necessarily increasing the size of this will address that. There is an element from a logistical standpoint, however, that would change it. I mean, look, you put the onus back on conference champions, okay? You make it five teams. Five teams get in based on who wins the conference champion. That's great.
Right.
Puts a ton of fun into that weekend. Two wild card spots, maybe three, depending on some kind of, you know, committee parameters for that group of five team, Central Florida in this instance, to get in. I think that'd be a great deal of fun. I think you would take some pressure off the committee, which at this point is basically just throwing things against the wall to see what sticks. You'd really make conference champion weekend and winning your conference mean something, which I do think has been lost in this. And again, I'm not endorsing it saying go to 18, but I would think you would simplify this process a ton if you decide to go that route.
Well, for the here and now, we know what we're going to get. Alabama against Clemson. We'll get the third consecutive year of seeing that one, though, this time in the semifinal round. Let's start with that game. Certainly different teams than we've seen the last couple of years. Are we at the very least going to get a good matchup in your mind?
Oh, heck yeah, we are. I mean, I love this game. I mean, look, I've been at the last two, and this is a rivalry now, right? With Alabama, Clemson, like this feels like significant. I know it's different. I know this version of Alabama might be a little bit watered down. And again, they're favored in this game, I think, last time I checked.
Yep.
So it's kind of funny the watered down version of Bama is still the favorite. But ultimately. You know, I was at the ACC championship game on Saturday night. I'll give you my scouting report of Clemson. I think they're the most talented team, top to bottom, in college football. They've got some dudes. I remember watching them 3 years ago against Bama, standing on the sideline, and Clemson had some bellies. And what I mean by that, they had some guys with bellies. And it's kind of funny in football when you think that Alabama, when you watch them warm up, there are no bellies. They're just bricks of humans, just human beings that were constructed genetically to play football. Clemson has morphed into that team in 3 years. They are a beast, and they are talented. The defensive line is insane, and I really like what I've seen from their quarterback, and also their wide receiver weapons are wild, too. So I get why Bama would be favored. I know people are shocked by this. I'm not at all. Alabama's a monster still, even if this isn't the best version. But I really do think that this is a good Clemson team, and I think they'll be up for it.
Take me to the other game, then. And this looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Georgia put on an incredible display against Auburn, but Oklahoma and Baker Mayfield, man, have they ever flipped the switch late in the season?
Oh, I mean, these games are just tremendous. The question you have here is, Georgia is without a doubt the more talented team overall, in my eyes. Like, top to bottom, roster, let's put the rosters next to each other, and Georgia, when healthy, is talented in so many places. But Oklahoma's got that guy who's going to win the Heisman this week, and Baker Mayfield, who's just a complete, you know, game playoff changer, however you want to label it. Honestly, this is a game that I need to think on in terms of who I'd pick. The other thing I think is fascinating. You look at Roquan Smith for Georgia, their linebacker. I mean, Georgia's got some speed that I don't think Oklahoma has seen. At linebacker and the secondary, people that can potentially at least try to slow down Baker. And they also have a pass rush to try and make him uncomfortable, too. So there's a lot of, like, if schematic fun is your thing and you're into kind of the X and O's breakdown, I can't wait to dive into this one because I think – specifically, Georgia defensively against Oklahoma, there's going to be a ton here, and also, you know, Oklahoma trying to slow down these Georgia running backs who were just amazing. The way they were going to the swing passes on Saturday, I thought it was a brilliant game plan. That is going to be a lot for Oklahoma to ask. So, TBD. I haven't dove into this one deep enough yet, but man, what a great game.
Well, on a local level, it'll be Iowa State making their way down to Memphis to take on the Tigers in their home stadium. But today, Mike Norvell, well, at least appears, not going to be part of the coaching carousel as he re-ups with a new deal for Memphis. The growing shine of Mike Norvell, what's the job he's waiting for?
It's a great question. I mean, I thought Arkansas would be a great fit. Mm-hmm. It looks right now it's going to be Chad Morris potentially getting that job. And that's a great hire, too. But I think what we've also seen, because Mike Norvell's deal is going to pay him like $2.5 million a year. I mean, wait for the job that fits you. I mean, Tom Herman, I think, did a brilliant job of this. I mean, Tom Herman won, had his eyes on Texas. I mean, we know how this cycle goes. Next year, Memphis is going to be good. They're going to stay good. They're going to score a ton of points. They're going to win the majority of their game. His star is going to stay bright, and he'll be in demand again. So, and actually, you could say that probably about both of these coaches who have decided to stay in this game. So, I think it's a sign of a young, patient coach that you don't necessarily have to jump at that first knot. Keep winning. Keep figuring out your voice and how to improve, and then jump when the time is right. But Arkansas is a great job. It's also a tough place to win. You know, your scheduling, your recruiting disadvantages there are going to be tough. But again, I'm interested to see, because that, to me, always seemed like such a natural fit there.
All right, then take me to Willie Taggart. A year with the Oregon Ducks, and he liked it there, and they liked him, but home is home, and he goes back now to Florida State. So if you're a quacker, who are you going to quack for?
By the way, 6 years and $30 million is what we're seeing right now for Willie Taggart. So I wouldn't just go home. I would sprint home. I would be home in a few hours to sign that contract. Just my thing. Look, Oregon's a great job. It's a fun job. The support is amazing. Obviously, being in Nike's backyard and having their kind of backing means that they could go out and hire somebody big if they wanted. Jim Leavitt, I don't know if he's going to go with Taggart or not. I think he'd make a ton of sense. I think Mario Cristobal, I've spent some time with him the last few years. I like him a lot. I think he's a guy that could fit there. So as much as we want to look at them maybe going to Mike Leach or trying to hire somebody from outside, I think they have a handful of really decent candidates from within.
Good stuff as always, AK. Appreciate your time. Bowl season upon us. Army-Navy, 10 seconds. Who you got in the game Saturday?
I got Army. I'll take Army as a slight dog. This game is so much fun. I'm going to use the majority of my 10 seconds to say, open up something good, something tasty, a bottle of something nice, to sit back and watch this game, then watch the highs.
Said very well. That's Adam Kramer. You can find his work at Bleacher Report, and he joins us here on Jimmy B and TC. Well, Jim, we are done for the hour, but we still got another hour to go with the Hawkeye Huddle, then high school basketball. We'll take the airway starting at 6 o'clock. A busy one here on a Tuesday, 1700 KBGG. Stick and stay right there. The Hawkeye Huddle is up next.
Your home and away voice for UNI football, 1700 KBGG.
Hey guys, Trent Condon here from 1700. You've been hearing me for a couple of months talk about New Leaf Wellness. I'm on a couple of programs helping me lose weight, and it has worked outstanding for me. The two treatment programs that I'm on right now, the GAC and the MIC, helping me with my energy levels, weight loss, increasing muscle tone. It's worked wonderfully for me. New Leaf Wellness has a lot of different programs they can help with guys out there. Low testosterone, maybe you're battling migraines, looking to lose weight, or maybe you just hit a plateau in your workout system. New Leaf Wellness can help you like they've helped me. What I want you to do, give them a call today, 515-650-1358. That's 650-1358. Give them a call. Let's feel better together. New year right around the corner. It's New Leaf Wellness, 650-1358.
Brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Join the over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. Post your next job opening on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com.
Save more with Liberty Mutual Insurance. Molly is such a cute snowflake. Where's that costume from?
Thanks. Liberty Mutual saved us some money, so it's custom made.
Liberty did what?
Shh. Oh, we switched our auto and home insurance and saved almost $800.
I wish we saved like that. Sarah's costume could use some work.
But she's a cute horse.
Sharon, she's a turkey.
Visit us online to get a quote. You can save $782 when Liberty stands with you. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Based on recent Countrywide new customer survey, coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company, equal housing insurer.
The premier college basketball event in the Midwest, the Hy-Vee Classic, returns to Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines Saturday, December 16th. See the Iowa Hawkeyes take on the Drake Bulldogs at 1 p.m., followed by the Iowa State Cyclones and the UNI Panthers at 3:30. Tickets are available now at HyVeeTix.com, the Wells Fargo Arena box office, any Des Moines or Ames Hy-Vee location, or by calling 844-55-HY-VEE.
Yeah, while I was at my lowest, I slept under a bridge a couple of times. I would miss meals all the time.
Whatever I could get from the food bank is what I had to make stretch until I could get to another food bank. It's scary. What I did is I drank a lot of water so that would try to fill me up.
Talk about hungry. I even looked in garbage cans. But then when you're hungry, you do what you have to do.
Hope Ministries reminds you that hope begins with a meal. Donate today at hopeiowa.org to feed hungry Iowans and change lives.
This is Jake Sweezy from 1700 KBGG. In a car crash, unbuckled passengers can become projectiles and increase the risk of hurting or killing others in the car by 40%. Make zero fatalities your goal. Buckle up every seat, every time.
It's the 12 Deals of Christmas. Log on to 1700kbgg.com. Click on the 12 Deals of Christmas banner and purchase the deals you want with half-off gift certificates at
Cute Smokehouse, the winners of TLC's Barbecue Pitmaster Season 2. Cute Smokehouse always has daily specials and made-from-scratch sides and excellent barbecue, too. Find them at 245 East Hickman in Waukee across from Dairy Queen, online at kuedsmokehouse.com.
The Home Plate Diner, serving the best comfort food around. We offer homemade specials daily and breakfast is served all day. Tuesdays, kids eat free, and Thursdays is free pie day. Two locations to serve you across from the fairgrounds on 30th Street and on Northeast 14th Street, a block north of Euclid.
Shorty's Barbecue is full Texas flavor, Iowa nice. Savor their Southern-style all-wood smoked authentic barbecue. No gas, no reheating, just mouth-smacking 100% full-bodied smoke flavor. Shorty's Barbecue, now open behind McDonald's on Northwest 86th Street in Johnson. Online at shortesbbq.com.
It's the 12 Deals of Christmas at 1700kbgg.com.
When you book your holiday travel with Priceline, you can save up to $300 on your flight. With savings like that, you'll have extra money to spend on better gifts for your nieces and nephews.
Look, Mom! Uncle Bill got us a drum set! Yeah!
That's the sound of being a caring and generous gift giver. And when you've had enough of that gift, you can also save up to 60% on hotels for the deals you won't find anywhere else.